This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever started or done a home improvement project? All right. Now, how many of you have actually finished all of those projects? Not as many hands. Maybe that's the question I should be asking the wives. How many of those projects have actually gotten finished? Well, I've got to tell you, I don't have a lot of projects going on right now at the house because for those of you who know me, I'm pretty inept when it comes to those things. I installed a garbage disposal a couple of weeks ago and managed to only sever three of my fingers. Didn't cut them off, just cut them. And I'm not real good at that kind of thing, but I have done a couple of home improvement projects. And here's the thing that I've noticed is it takes a lot of time and energy, and yes, sometimes money, to get started on those projects, doesn't it? But what I've noticed even more is I can have all the energy in the world and I can start that project, but it takes even more energy and more focus to follow through and to complete that project. Why is that? Well, I think it's because of distractions. Other things come up in our lives that all of a sudden are more important than that project. I know some people who have had an unfinished bathroom for 4 years. They're in marriage counseling right now. But it takes a lot of focus, doesn't it, to continue on that path. And life is full of distractions these days, from entertainments to the various trials that we face, and even some of the fads and philosophies. And if we're not careful, the same thing can happen in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's a lot easier to start something than to stay on task. Isn't that true? To stay on task means we've got to stay focused on that which is important. And even when we are striving in all of our efforts, we are striving to live our life for the Lord, to do the things that he wants us to do, that we feel called to do. Friends, it's true. We're going to face distractions. We are going to face distractions that are designed to get us off course with our walk with Jesus. And maybe that's where some of you are today. Maybe you're feeling just a little bit like you've gotten off track or gotten off course a little bit. So the question is how do we stay on course with Jesus? Well, these verses in Colossians chapter 2 give us four important truths about our walk with the Lord. So turn, if you have your Bibles or it's on your outline on the screen, but I like to read from the word here. So let's turn in Colossians chapter 2, and we're just going to look at two short verses. I have to tell you, these are some of my favorite verses in Scripture. I've taught it, I've preached from it, and every time it's fresh. And I would encourage you, these are two great verses if you want to memorize and live by. They've just been very, very wonderful, even though they're short. But read them with me. Chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Now listen, if you want to do a project, if you want to do a home improvement project, the first thing is you got to know where you're starting, right? You got to know your starting point. You don't just jump in the middle. And if you want to stay on course with Jesus, then the very first truth we see here is make certain that you have received him. Make certain that you have received him. Paul says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. It makes sense, doesn't it? If I want to stay on a path with Jesus, I got to make sure that that first step on that path, I've got to make sure that I'm with Jesus. And if we want to experience the kind of transformation in our lives that only Jesus Christ can give, then we need to accept the fact that the first step to that transformation, the very first step in our Christian life, friends, it's not about what we do in terms of works. It's not about doing all the right things. You want to know the very first step in making sure that you've received Jesus? It's this: accepting the truth. accepting the truth that Jesus is who he says he is. That's the very first step. And the people to whom Paul was writing here, they had accepted that truth. He says, just as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord. That's a past event that continues to have results in their lives, but it's only a starting point. He says, then continue to live in him. This is one of the very few imperative verbs in this passage. Imperative means it's a command. Just as you have received, now continue, imperative, command, continue to walk in him. Paul's saying, look, you received Jesus at some point. That's great. That's good. Now continue to live in the same way. You know, there's something very specific going on here. Paul's saying this is a past event that continues to have effect in your life. And I thought about this. I thought of something that every single one of us have experienced that would help us to relate to this. Regardless of your age, gender, background, beliefs, every single person here, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, has been conceived. Is that not true? Anybody here not been conceived? Okay, good. I'm just waiting for that one person who is, you know, test tube baby. Okay, yeah, thank you. every single one of us has been conceived, but think about that for a moment. Didn't that happen in the past? Absolutely. At some point, there was the conception. Did that past event continue to have results in your life today? Yeah, it did. It continues to progress to the point where you're born, and then after you're born, you continue to grow and you continue to develop. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, look, you don't get conceived as a human being and then live the rest of your life as a dog. Okay? So Paul is saying, if you started as a believer in Jesus Christ and your faith in Christ was the beginning and the point, that beginning point of your new life, then continue to live in that same faith. You know what? Every single week, the pastors and I talk with people who say, you know what, I don't know if I've received him. Well, friends, I want you to know that if you have come to that point where you've accepted that Jesus Christ is God, he is Lord, that God sent him here because he loves you, and you believe that, and you have confessed your sins to him, and you said, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I want you to come into my life, and you have received him, then friends, you've taken that first step. The continuing to walk in him doesn't mean that every week when we ask, who wants to begin that journey today? If you've begun it, you don't keep raising your hand. Is it true that we continue to make commitments through our lives? Absolutely. Do you want to make a recommitment? Absolutely. But that starting point is when we accept the truth that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And we place, I love the term, we set our heart down in him. That's the starting point. And you can be assured then, if you have done that, you can be assured that you have received him. So friends, what Paul's saying here is we don't come to Christ. We don't receive him and then dispose of him and walk away. We don't say, hey, Jesus, thanks so much for saving me. Thanks for that free ticket into heaven. You know, it was really nice meeting you. You know what? I'll see you later. Come pick me up when I die and we'll head off to heaven together. It doesn't work that way. That's not what the Christian life is like. Staying on course with Jesus is a continual faith experience where we continually put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to do what he said he would do. We've come to Christ, we've received him, not only for forgiveness, but for every area of our life. Staying on course is receiving him in every area of our life. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said what? He said, I came that they may have life, eternal life, and enjoy life, and have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows in every single area. So the command here is continue to live in him. In him means in union with him. That means we are walking with him. You know what? It's the difference between being single and being married. And this is, I mean this in a good way, by the way. You know, it's like my daughter who's off at, just started college. She calls, she says, Dad, it's so cool. She goes, I get invited to go have pizza or go have coffee. And I said, boys or girls? She goes, girls. I'm like, good. And she says, and I can just go. I don't have to check with anybody. I'm kind of in charge of my own schedule. When I want to study, I study. When I want to go eat, I eat. But when you're married, The decisions that we make affect the other person. April and I are in union with each other, right? And so the decisions that we make together affect one another. And I want to make decisions for April's good and for God's good in our lives. So we're in union with each other. Now, just as it is possible to be, isn't it true? You can be married, but not in union with your spouse. And in the same way, many can call themselves Christians, but not be in union with Jesus. And Paul says, continue to walk in him, in union with him. So if you started on this course, we've got to start there. If we're going to talk about how do we stay on course, let's come back. Come back to the starting line. Have you received him? Have you received him? Are you assured of your salvation? And if not, ask someone to pray with you. Talk with one of the pastors, because we want you to be sure that you have received him. So if you started on this course with Jesus, then it makes sense that to stay on that course, we've got to walk with him, right? Well, how? How do we walk with him? Well, now Paul is going to give a couple of beautiful word pictures that help us understand what it means to stay on course with Jesus. And the second point is he says, make sure you stay rooted in Christ. So continuing to walk in him means that we are securely rooted. Now the verb rooted here, very interesting. This is a passive verb. This is a passive verb, which means this was something that was done to you. This is really important to remember, friends. We do not root ourselves. We do not root ourselves. Paul is saying here, we have been rooted by God in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. He says, for by grace that you have been saved, right? Not by your works, not by anything that you or I could do. It is the gift of God. And so this rooting takes place when we give Jesus Christ our lives, when we receive him into our lives. Guess what happens, friends? By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are sealed at that moment. We are rooted in God by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been rooted. So Paul's saying, be certain to stay rooted. Well, what does that mean? What that means is that, well, think about it this way. What happens when you uproot a plant? If you uproot a plant, it dies, doesn't it? You know, somebody gives you flowers. They've been cut off. They're not going to live forever. You dig up a tree. Don't transplant it. Just leave it there. It's going to die. Why? Because a plant draws its nourishment and its stability from its roots. And I think too many times in our Christian lives, the reason that we get off course is because we act like we are not rooted, or we fail to tap into the nourishment that Christ offers us. We try to do things our own way. There's a powerful scene. Anybody seen the movie Fireproof? If you haven't, go see it. There's a powerful scene. There's a cross in the background in a field, and the husband is there with his father. And he says, Dad, I've done everything. I've done everything I can. I'm working so hard to save this marriage, and it's not working. And the father says, when are you going to stop doing it yourself and allow Christ to come in and heal your marriage? See, he was failing to draw that nourishment from the Lord. And just as a tree is intended to grow physically, when a tree is designed to mature, we also are designed to grow spiritually when we are born. But in order for a tree to grow above ground, it's got to continue to let its roots go down deep. Anybody ever uprooted a tree or ever tried to get a tree out of your yard? I mean, I've helped people do that, and it's like, just hire somebody, okay? This is too hard. Why? Because the roots go down deep, they go out wide, and they get thicker over the years. And that's what Paul's saying here. He says, spiritually, it's not about anything that you do. It's continuing to draw that nourishment from your faith in Jesus Christ, to continue to let your roots go down deep. So in order for us to stay on course, we've got to continue to grow spiritually. When we talk about spiritual growth, friends, it's not an overnight thing, is it? I love the fact that almost every week, Ruby Mae will share with me. She'll say, you know what, let me share with you what God's teaching me. Or I'm really struggling with this area. She's continuing to grow and to let those roots go down deep. Our spiritual growth, friends, is an intentional and lifelong process. That's in your outline. Remember that. It's an intentional and lifelong process. But it's also about a relationship. It's a relationship. It's our relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to stay connected to him. That's why Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. But what can we do apart from him? Absolutely nothing. So I just want to, I want us to be real with each other. And I want to ask you a question. If staying on course with Jesus means that we are drawing nourishment from him, that we're allowing him to be the source of every area of our life, when was the last time you heard him speaking to you through his word? When was the last time you heard him speaking to you? When was the last time that God revealed himself in a whole new way? Or you already knew that he was faithful, but now you see a depth of his faithfulness. You already knew that he was a God of love, but you see a depth of his love. When was the last time you experienced that? When was the last time that you prayed and you truly felt his touch, his hand on your shoulder, his presence with you as you communed with him? When was the last time that he convicted you or moved you or gave you guidance through his Holy Spirit? See, I want us to be clear on something. Being rooted in Christ, we stay rooted not by addition, but by nutrition. We stay rooted to Christ by nutrition, not addition. So what are you doing to be nourished? Where's that time, alone time with the Lord, to draw that strength from him? So if we are in Christ and we are drawing our nourishment from Christ, being rooted in Christ, now there's a third way for us to stay on course. And that is to be strengthened and built up in our faith. Paul says, and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. So listen to this. God has rooted us into Christ. And now on that rooting, he begins to build. And I thought about it. It's not like, anybody seen the movie Field of Dreams? It's not, if you build it, he will come. It's, if you come, he will build it. If you come, he will build it. He is the one. See, again, built in him. Oftentimes, the verb tense is very important here. We think we're the ones that we have to do the building, don't we? Oh, I want to get strong in my faith. I want to stay on course. So I've got to do the one. I've got to be the one. I've got to get rooted. I've got to start building. We add things to our lives, don't we? We add ministry responsibilities. We add Bible studies. We add fellowship. We add accountability groups. We add all these things. And by the way, those are not bad things. Those are great things. But they're not great things if we're the ones who are doing the building. We say, oh my goodness, I've gotten off course with Jesus. I need to do this. And if I do these things, if I add another floor, another addition to my life, then I'm for certain I'm going to get back on course. And then we're disappointed when that doesn't happen. You know why? Because many, many times those things that we add to our lives to try to get us on course with Jesus actually become distractions that take us off course with Jesus. Why? Because we weren't rooted. See, come back to that principle. From where were we drawing the nourishment? I love meeting with people during the week and they say, you know what, Paul, I'm thinking I should do this and I do this and I do this and I do this. I say, wait, stop. There's a lot of things. You can go to the website. You can look in your bulletin. There's a ton of great things to do. Have you prayed about it? Have you asked the Lord, Lord, where am I in my relationship with you? Where do I need to grow? Where do I desire to grow? Where do you want me to grow? Is it in knowledge of your word? Is it in my prayer life? Is it in accountability? Where is it, Lord? And then, Lord, will you point me to those places that you want to do the building? And I think a lot of times it's like we're on this path with Jesus. And I'm guilty of this, friends. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I've done it in my Christian walk, especially early on, because I just get so excited, you know. And I'm one of these people, I have a hard time saying no. People are like, Paul, I want to invite you. Okay, I want to invite you. Before you know it, I'm doing all these things. And I think it's like we're on this path with Jesus, and we've got this backpack, and we're walking along with him arm in arm. And he says, Paul, here, I want you to have this. Put this in your backpack. It'll remind you of the beauty of my creation. Here, Paul, I want you to have this. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And I let Jesus put those things in. And then pretty soon I'm like, oh, look at that rock over there. And I pick up the rock, and then, oh, a boulder. I need that. And I start loading up my backpack. And then what happens? There's Jesus way over there. And I'm way back here. I've gotten off course. So one of the reasons that we get off course is because this term built up, it's an architectural term. It speaks to the process of putting up a building. The verb tense indicated it's a continual process. It never, unlike rooted. Rooted, it happened. It happened. And yes, it's a continual process, but building up, we are continuing to be built up. And this process begins when we come to Christ. It's like we have this old building. I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing good about my building before I come to Christ in his eyes. I need him to just demolish that building and start off new with a new foundation and let him start building up. And I think one of the reasons we get off course, one of the reasons why we struggle with living for him is the fact that once again, we're not being built up in him. Many of us are empty lots of rubble. God has come in and he's destroyed those things, but then some of us try to take that rubble from our old lives and try to build ourselves up with that old material from our old lives. We continue to do the same things. We go to the same places. We feed our minds with the same material. We spend our time the same way. And as Dr. Phil likes to say, how's that working for you? It doesn't. 2 Corinthians tells us we are a new creation in Christ. We are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. So what that means, friends, is God wants to do a new thing in each one of us. As we stay on course with him, it's a constant demolishing and rebuilding and letting him build us up. And how does he do that? Through the power of his Holy Spirit that dwells within us now. Through the power of his Holy Spirit. Is it not true? He gives us new attitudes, a new mind, new responses, new priorities. He is the one. New burdens, new passion. Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, then let us walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And I just want to tell you two quick things here. Two quick things. You know how you can be built up and strengthened in your faith? You want to know how to stay on course with Jesus? Well, the first thing is come to discover the truth. Come to discover the truth. How do we do that? Right here in his word. Come to find out. What does God say? And then second of all, respond to the truth. And you say, Paul, that's just brilliant. I've never heard that before. Trust and obey. Know the truth and apply it. But you know what? God didn't want to overcomplicate it. He loves us too much. He wanted it to be simple. Know the truth, respond to the truth. And I just want to challenge you. Try it. See if you can be the first person in all of history to prove God wrong that his way is not best. Try it. And I think that one of the reasons, the quickest ways that we get off course is we either don't know the word or we know it and we don't respond to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, you know what? Come here. Come this way. I'm going to show you how to respond to that person. But we say, nope, I know what your word says and I know what you want, but I'm going to do my own thing. I'm angry, I'm bitter, and they're going to hear about it. Or he says, you know what, come this way. I want to show you what I want you to do with your money. He says, hey, don't be distracted by those frilly things over there. Don't be tempted. Come this way. And we get off course because we haven't guarded his word. I used to teach the Bible to men every single week. And one of the things that I always told the guys is, you know, guys, we study the word because then the word is guarded in our hearts. So that then as we go along that course, something comes and we know that's not true. That, I remember this, those principles are guarded in our hearts. Sometimes in our early Christian lives, we come and we're encountered by that distraction, and then we come to the word and say, what do I do? And God's word certainly has an answer. But the reason that we get off course is because we don't obey. we don't respond or we don't know. So to grow in Christ means to be strengthened and informed in our faith. So I want you to think about it right now. How is your faith being strengthened? You know what, friends? In my own life, I got to tell you, I've told you this many, many times. My strength is my faith is strengthened by the tests and trials of my life. It's like exercise. I don't always enjoy doing it, but if I don't exercise that muscle, it's going to atrophy. And in the same way, that's how we're strengthened in our faith. I want you to think about that. Think about how we apply God's word. When we apply God's word as truth into our lives, our faith is strengthened. Listen, we can read all the verses. We can read the verses in Matthew chapter 6 that God says what? I love you more than the sparrows in the air and the lilies in the field. And if I love you more than them, oh, how much I love you that I would not provide for you. We can read the stories in Exodus about the daily bread. But I'm going to tell you, it's not until our faith is not strengthened until you actually experience loss. Until you actually lose your job or you lose that income or you experience financial hardship and then you see firsthand how God is providing for you. We can read that God is the healer of our souls, but that faith is not strengthened until we are suffering mentally or suffering physically. And we personally experience the way that God touches us with his healing touch. We can read and we can know in God's word that he will deliver us from temptations, but it isn't until we take hold of that faith and we pray in the face of temptation that we see his amazing power. So if there's an area of your life right now that you say, you know what, this needs to be fortified, I want it to be strengthened, then ask God to come in. Ask him for that wisdom. You see the passage in James there. Ask God and he will give you the wisdom to be able to come. But if you don't come and ask him, we're just like a man who's tossing around in the wind or the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So how are you being strengthened through the truth of his word? I love to hear the testimonies of people who come and say, you know what? I read this in the word. I read what it said. By God's strength and power, I applied it. And let me tell you about the results that it's having in my life. Transformational. And maybe I want you to think about too is, are there things right now as believers that you're trying to do the building? Maybe there's some things that you've added to your lives by doing more and more things. And I'm going to give you some time at the end to just really reflect on that. But maybe God's even convicting you right now that maybe there's some things that you've added that are really just taking you off course. Now listen, if all this seems a bit much for how to stay on course, and or you're saying, you know what, I've heard this before. You know, didn't Art just preach the same message a couple of weeks ago? Staying in process with God, you know, being grounded in his word, walking with him. I've heard this before. Or maybe it seems a little bit complicated and you say, I'm still off course. Paul, isn't there something that you could give me today? Just one surefire way for me to kind of get back on course? Well, you want it? Here it is. It's a short, simple one, and it's my favorite one. It's proven over time that if you want to stay on course, you want to get back on track, then live with an attitude of gratitude toward Christ. Live with an attitude of gratitude toward Christ. Paul says, overflowing with gratitude. Here's how it works. When we realize we're rooted in Christ, his Holy Spirit is building us up, we're exercising our faith, we begin to overflow with joy and thanksgiving. Did you know that people aren't thankful for something until they've really learned to appreciate it? People are truly not thankful until they've learned to appreciate it. Parents, you know what I'm talking about it. About you prepare a meal every single week. You set it on the table and the child goes, ugh, we having that again? That's not exactly gratitude, is it? I was going to use the illustration of Lauren off at college, except that she's eating better at college than she did at home. So that won't work. But we do the same thing in our faith. We look at it, we say, as Christians, that's what's happened. We say, ugh, where is God in all this? Why is God doing this to me? We start out ungrateful. But the more we understand who he is and what he has done for us, we say, this is great. This is great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not losing my temper as much as I did 5 years ago or even last week. Thank you. Thank you. It's been hard, but thank you that as I've been obedient, thank you that I'm learning how to love my spouse. As husbands, I'm learning what it means truly, that sacrificial love, that surrendering love. Thank you that I'm not being tempted in the same way. Thank you that I'm more forgiving. Thank you that I'm able to act on your word. Thank you that I can see ways that you are providing. Nothing restores our relationship with Jesus Christ more than giving him thanks. Gets us right back on course. I want to give you an example. Think about it. How many of you were pretty tired this morning when you came in? I was. I don't know how many times we come to church, you know, especially those of us who have little kids, we're trying to get them all ready and everything. We come into church, we're feeling way over here with God, aren't we? We come in and we start singing praise, be enthroned upon our praise, and tell me if you did not, at some point during worship, sense God's presence. God didn't move, friends. He stayed on course. But our lips of praise bring us back on course. And I get such a charge out of seeing people who love Jesus so much, who appreciate their salvation and never forget from what they've been saved, so much that when you see them serving God, you can just see the joy overflowing. And I get so excited and, yes, convicted by new believers. We're blessed here to have people come to faith every week in Christ. And I love to talk with them 2, 3, 5 weeks out. And they say, Pastor Paul, I got to tell you something. I found out where John is in the Bible. And I was reading it. And let me tell you what I learned. And I did it. And let me tell you what happened. And you're just going, it's like a little Labrador puppy. You know, it's so exciting. It's so exciting to see the transformation that's happening. But friends, I get convicted because why is it that we see these new believers, they have such incredible joy? And then sometimes we can look at a mature believer and they have this joy. This burden that I'm carrying around. See, gratitude is a continual process. It's a continual active response to what God has done for us. Hebrews says, through him, Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. You want to get on course with Jesus? Start thanking him. Start praising him. I love to come in the morning, and before I lay any requests before him, I just love to praise him for who he is. And as I praise him, God begins to teach me how to pray. He responds to me. Then I know what I need to be praying for, and at night, I give him thanks. You know, I want you to listen to this quote from John MacArthur Jr. Listen carefully. This is beautiful. Praise completes the circle in which the blessings that flow to us from God return to him in the form of our praise and adoration. By taking in the truth of the word, believers get a strong mind. By living out those truths, they receive full assurance that Christ is who he claimed to be. Assured of that, they can appropriate the riches that are his legacy to believers and walk in him. As they walk in him, they will grow and become established in their faith. And as a result, they will praise God. See, friends, looking at these verses this morning, we can see some beautiful pictures of how to stay on course with Jesus. When our roots go down deep in Christ, we're not going to want any other soil. When Christ is our sure foundation, we're not going to want to move. When our hearts are overflowing with gratitude, we're not going to want to miss out on the fullness of all that Christ has to offer. And listen, can we all agree? Art likes to say, we're all in process. We can agree to that. One of the things I like to add, though, is, yeah, we're all in process, but we're on this journey together. So will you remember that about yourself, but will you also remember that about your brother and sister beside you? We're all in process. And there's a lot of things that you can be doing. Don't compare yourself to others, because that can take you off track too. So before you just jump into the next thing ask yourself, how is this deepening my roots? How is this building my faith? How is this making me more Christ-like? And I think the challenge for us today is to grow downward by drawing that nourishment in every area of our lives, to grow upward by being built up in Him, to grow inward as we're strengthened in our faith, and to grow outward as we're overflowing with thankfulness.
We trust you were inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.